This is a Pinball News production.
Thank you very much for having me. My talk is geared primarily to the newer speaker, the newer collector. But I hope there's something here for everyone. I'm curious to know how many people this is the first expo they've come to. Okay. Keep your hands up. How many people have less than two or one game in your collection? Ooh, a bunch. How many people only have one in their collection? Okay, five of you. You know, technically a collection is three or more of an item. So you know what, you guys have characters. Okay, so there's what, five of you? Put your hand, one game in your collection, that's your first expo. One, two, three people. Four people, okay. Before we start, I want to know who the youngest attendee here is today. How old?
53.
How old are you?
11.
11. Well, you get to come up and get a prize, okay? I got a collection of flyers here. This collection here of Circus Voltaire, Big Bang Bar. This is out of a, I don't know, a game. I got a Translite from Transporter Valley here. Translite from Cactus Jacks here, and a Pinball Pro poster, and I have this, you hold the bottom, I'll show these people, please. And this is a 1969 poster, blacklight poster, called Hot Damn, which, I don't know, might not be appropriate for me. I got a short memory, all the bells and stuff. Okay, and these play fields, this is a nicer one, that one's a little ratty, look, you can use these. And you're welcome to pick from any one of these prizes to take anything you'd like.
Choose wisely.
Choose wisely.
I can see them all around. You like that? I'll take it. Okay, all the one game collectors, it's their first expo, come on up and pick something. There was four of you, I think.
25 people stand up.
Okay, while these guys are spending their time talking, okay. My talk is about Collector's Chronicles. I've been collecting since 1984. I take it this doesn't move that thing. Okay, next slide, please. I started getting interested in 1960. I used to go to Iowa and visit my aunt and uncle. He's a rural doctor, a surgeon, and an obstetrician. One Saturday night, he was taking my mom and dad with him bowling, and I walked into the bowling alley, and I'm sitting there looking forward to Lauren's bowling alley, and all these people are bowling, and I'm not, and I was young. And he reaches his pocket and pulls out a big handful of money and says, "Here, go play that machine over there." I said, "What? That machine? That pinball machine?" He says, "I don't know what it is. It's a pinball machine. Go play. I don't know how to play." Ask that kid over there. Give him a nickel and ask him to show you what to do. So after this kid, here's a nickel. Show me how to play that game. This kid runs over there, shoots a nickel, close the ball, shoots it. Here's what you do. I said, "Oh, slow down." So he plays his game in like 3 or 4 minutes. "Oh, slow down. Here's our nickel. Show me what you put the nickel in." And then you push the button. I don't think you push the button. You put the nickel in the game.
Rob. This means move your mouth closer to the microphone. I go like that.
I said.
There you go.
So I said. Put your.
Turn it on. It's got a power switch.
So I said.
Put your. Nobody took the flyer packs. This isn't like one flyer. This is like a pack of flyers. Okay. Anyway, I'll play this game. Here's how you do it. Here's what you do. So I played. Now, the kid's watching me do this. And I didn't know how to do it. I barely, I flip him like this because I was a beginner. You know how that is. So he's getting frustrated because I'm not doing it. I said, "Well, here, show me what I'm going to do. Oh, you do this. You try to do this and this and this." Okay, thanks a lot. So I ran out of money and come back like 2 hours later. And then Uncle says, "You done all right?" I says, "Yeah." And he says, "We got my game. Well, here's $2. Go ask that guy at the cashier for a roll of nickels." So I went up and I rolled nickels and proceeded to play until they dragged me out of there. So we go back a couple years later and it's sort of the same thing, only now games were 10 cents a piece, 3 for a quarter. And I was like, "I'm getting ripped off. Oh my God, this is unfair." He gave me money and I played them and had a lot of fun. we went like two more years later, and he says they built a house at this point. We had to live in this ratty old farmhouse that the community had given. And he says, go downstairs and check out the game. I said, go downstairs, and there's a pool table, and there's a nice bar made out of a shuffleboard top, and there's a ping pong table. And there in the corner was a Gottlieb GG pinball game. I said, oh, pinball game. And I go running upstairs. I need some money for the game. He says, no, you don't. It's set out free play. He's like, oh, I run back downstairs. And I'm like playing and playing and playing. And Dad comes out and says, you got to come up and visit. I'm like, no, I'm playing. No, you got to visit. It's like, go upstairs. He says, what are you doing up here? Oh, Dad's like, visit. No, you don't. Go downstairs and play. He says, no, he's got to play. Let him play until his wrists are sore. And I played not until my wrists got sore, but until my fingers got sore. So that's how I got, like, hooked on pinball, you know, thanks to my Uncle Ray. And it started me, ultimately, on wanting to have pinball. I didn't realize at the time. And when I went back and found out what the game was, because I couldn't remember, I was looking at some old pictures, and in back one of the pictures was the game, and it's like I'm blowing up, and I realized it was a GG game. I started looking for that. I ultimately found one about 20 years later, but that's another story. Okay, next slide, please, or whatever this thing is.
Next
foil. Okay, 1984. In 1984, we bought our first house, my wife and I, and I'd fallen into a video game, an Atari Battlezone game that this poor little rich kid had to sell because his annuity ran out or something. I don't know what the deal was. And after about a month, it's like, oh man, I was like pinball, I like video. I want a pinball, I want to get a pinball. So I started looking around, and where do you find pinball? You know, I couldn't, you know, papers didn't have it. So I got the yellow pages out, I started flipping in the A's, started flipping through the headings. It wasn't under pinball, it wasn't under, you know, arcade or something. Well, luckily under amusement devices, hell of stuff was in the A's. So I called up these people, and one guy wanted like $350 a game plus delivery. Another guy wanted like $250 a piece, but free delivery. And another guy wanted even more. So I kept calling around and calling around. One guy says, well, I could cut the price down a little if you bought more than one. So I went to a place in Detroit. It's a giant storage area called Fun Distributors. Anybody who knows Detroit or at, it's an old furniture warehouse. It's just filled with games. I'll say over 1,000 games. But they were a lot were owned by this Rick Lansky, and a lot were other people just had them there. So we go in and look, and the guy had about 15 or 20 games, all from about the 70s. And they look pretty ready, but he guaranteed, oh, they'll be completely shopped out, they'll be working perfect, I'll give you a 30-day guarantee, it'll be fine. So I was like, you know, what to do? And I settled on a Big Indian, a flip-flop, a Freedom, and a Rogo at $200 a piece. He would deliver them, they'd be working. I figured, I told my wife I was going to get a couple games, and I said, well, I bought four games. She said, you're going to get a couple? Well, I want to see which one are the best ones, and I'm going to sell the other two, and then it'll be my couple games. Because I don't really know which ones they are anymore, that's been a while. So, you know, about 3 weeks later, I keep logging him, and he sets up time for delivery, and they show up, and he's not going to do anything until I pay him the rest of the money. So we give him the rest of the money, and, oh, he can't help alone, he's got a bad back, so me and this helper on both these things. And I'm looking at him, and they don't look much different than when I saw him, you know, 3 weeks earlier, pretty ratty looking, no dirty rubbers. We plug him in and turn him on, and the flip-flop worked about 90%, Freedom, yeah, about 50%, Robo didn't work at all, and another one worked about 10%. Jeez, you know, they're supposed to be like new, they're supposed to be do this. He said, well, I got these rubber rings. He had like five or six rubber rings. He flopped them down. Hey, I got a box of light bulbs. Put them in, come on, you know, get them going. So they opened them up and started putzing with them. So I saw how they opened the back up. I saw how they opened up the, took the glass out and the lock bar and lifted up the play field. And they didn't really do much. And I said, hey, you said these things will be working. He says, well, they will. Got a plan, and if the contacts get warmed up, they'll work fine. This sounds reasonable. Okay, so bye. So he leaves, and wife comes around, and I was like, eh, you know, and I started cleaning the glass, and playing with them, and you know, I wasn't happy, but what could I do? I played for the whole weekend. One improved, two got worse, and one just didn't work out. So I tried tinkering with them a little bit, but I couldn't do much. I fixed some minor problems. It was probably a fluke. You know how that goes, you know. So, you know, I call him up, and he says, I don't know, it's too soon, keep playing them, they'll be fine. So I did, but I wasn't happy. So I played, and I tinkered, and I played, and I tinkered, and I call him up once a week, reminding him of my guarantee. Day 28, I called, I'm keeping a record of all this, you know, because I'm sort of weird. Like a lot of people in this hobby. Anyway, he said the games are fine since I've been playing with them for a month. And I said, no, they're not fine, they got the same problems. You said, you know, they'd be fine, they'd be shopped out, they'd be like new. And I told him what's wrong with each piece, and I've been keeping a log, and he better come out and fix them. So he reluctantly agreed, and he sent a guy to my house. Well, after a lot of calls, like 2 weeks later, this guy shows up, and he's like, this is a house, oh, I hate fixing games, I'm sorry, just special people's houses. I don't know if I'm coming in. I said, well, are you coming in or not? What do you do if I don't come in? I said, if you don't come in, I'm going to call the guy back, and bitch came out, you didn't come in, and, you know, go after him, because, you know, I didn't buy it from you. So he decides to come in. I asked him, you want something to eat or drink? No. And he sort of goes through and does some repairs and opens all the games up, and he writes down a big list of the parts I need. And when he leaves, he said he wouldn't be coming back. The Big Indian worked about 80%, the flip-flop about 95%, the Freedom about 80%, and the Rogo game was now glowing. I could turn it on, it would glow. So I was like, okay. So I called the next day, and he seemed surprised when I claimed everything wasn't fixed. And then he said, oh, your 30 days were up. He wasn't going to do anymore. And I was really mad. So I said, I'd call him back after I spoke with my lawyer. I was like, I don't know a lawyer. Anyway, so after 3 days, it's like, what am I going to say? I was like, I called him. I said, yeah, I talked to my lawyer. My lawyer says, I can call and have anybody I want come on here and fix these games and pay him, and then I can sue you for the money and all the trouble it cost me, and you got to pay for it. And he said that. And I said, he sure did. So I'm just wondering, you got names of people you'd recommend for me to fix these? I want a good one. No, I'll send somebody out, no problem. So I called him around about 2 weeks. This other technician comes back. He had a bunch of the parts. He again explained he didn't like doing home repairs, but he came right in, and he offered refreshments. He had a beer, and he started working. He started explaining what he was doing, showing me some stuff. Really nice guy. And then he got the games about 2 hours. They were all working 98, 99, 100%. You know, I don't know that I could have expected more from what I got. And I was really happy. He told me he worked for the Valley distributor. He told me where it was. I knew where to get parts. Gave me some other advice and who else to talk to if I wanted to look for more stuff. And he had some games he wanted to sell, but I wanted his. I don't know. I still got to sell two of these, you know. And so I was happy. Okay, but I met a lot of weird people on this first deal. Next, please. Okay, in 1984, I got those four games in package deal, and I got a wizard game, but that's another story. Okay, slide. 1985, there was no internet, there were no instruction guides, there were no real resources that I knew yet, and I met a guy in Detroit, Michigan, called Damon Michalko, and all some of the local people, and maybe some not local people, know. This guy was, God rest his soul, his mom would say, was a young kid whose dad must have got him hooked on games when he was like 11. And they went out and got him, and this guy had garages full of games, and they were cheap, and everything was mint and perfect and working, and a 30-day guarantee. And I threw an ad in the paper, because that's the only place I knew how to find games at that point. You know, the vendors want too much. I ran into him, and I started getting some games and getting parts from him. And ultimately, when you see these games, there's a DM after it. This game I got through Damon, and I got it cheap. Okay, and he was a pretty weird person. Okay, next. 85,
wait,
we got.
Wait, that's all you're going to say about Damon?
That's all I got to say. You can talk about him at your
phone. Come on. Damon was a drunk.
A drunk drug addict.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
God rest his soul.
He's dead.
I went to his funeral, talked to his mom. I got to know his mom and dad as well as his partner, but that's another story.
Yeah,
and I don't only got 40 minutes.
From his mom.
What?
He tried to get the pinball machine from his mom.
Or his dad. Okay, I got a ski club, a Nintendo, a fantastic. But they're all other stories. Next slide. 1986, a $50 game. Okay, and I'm as one of my friends, Clay Harrell, called me a bottom feeder collector. I couldn't afford to buy these games. You know, I'm lucky my wife has let me do it. All these games I bought, I didn't keep them. I had to rotate them to be able to keep some few. So at that point, you know, I probably had like six games maybe. And I was looking for anything, $100 or less pretty much. I might spend a little more for some special piece. Question?
Rob, you got to hold that mic closer.
Alley people got to move forward.
That mic ain't up. It's on you.
Yeah.
Hello.
Die.
Try it now, Rob.
No.
Turn on.
What were we talking
about?
Wait a minute.
That's a three position.
I'm an EM collector.
There's no three positions.
You get your megaphone.
The point when I'm first, I'll stand here, it'd be easier.
Yeah, so
I was a bottom feeder collector. I couldn't afford these games. I think I spent $150 for that Captain Fantastic from Damon. It was nice. So I read the ads religiously. If you're the first person there, you get any game, no matter how good it is or how bad it is, for as cheap as they want or less. And I was good at trying to talk to people. So just add in the paper, a weight machine, a sofa, a pinball machine, $50 each. I call this lady. She was a weird lady, I could tell on the phone. The game was a ballet knockout, a two-player. She was hesitant to say it worked completely. She admitted it had a few bugs in it. Well, don't they all, you know? That's how I get them cheap. So I didn't have a vehicle to move games in. So for the first, 5 years, I had to call my friends. You got a station wagon, you got a minivan, you got a pickup truck, and you help me with this game, and you help. Oh, yeah, they're all happy at first, but after the third or fourth time, they're scared. These things are heavy. It's inconvenient. It's hard to find people. So next day was a Saturday. Yeah, a bunch of guys, we were going to some event later on. So, yeah, we'll go there first. So we go out to Pontiac, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit. It's like Detroit, Pontiac, and Flint's further north. Yeah, they're urban suburbs that are falling down. And we go to the house. It's a mediocre, run-downish looking house in Pontiac. And we go walking up the steps. I'm walking up the steps. The steps are going like this. It's like, oh, stop. One person on a step at a time. And God, note to self, we walk down the stairs. We walk on the outside. Nobody, don't do people on a step at a time. And I knock on the door. And this door was going to help us. Yeah, I don't care about faith. You're looking at the game. Oh, yeah. And she's, who are those people? Those are the people that help me lift it. Unless you're going to help me. No, they can't come in. Go away. So we go in the house, and look around. The house looks funny. It's got a funny smell, but... it's not really that pinball smell, but it's kind of smell. So I go looking around, and the game's set up in the kitchen. So it's a belly knockout. Glass looks pretty good. Play field looks okay.
We can't hear you. The microphone. I'm in the front row of the game.
So we watch it and look at the game. Take that final. It's like an extension cord. So I walk in, I look at the game, and it's not plugged in. I plug it in, and I'm standing there looking at this game, and she reaches over from the right, pushes the start button, it cycles all up. And for some reason, I didn't set up the plate. I pull the plunger back, and the ball goes up, and it hits the first bumper or target, and the game goes down. It started to register, it went down, and this lady jumped, and then it starts cycling again like it's starting up. Excuse me. What the heck happened? So I pull the ball back, shoot it, I'm watching, and it goes, it hits a different target, and it starts to register a point, and the game blacks out, and this lady jumps again. I was like, what the heck? So, because it's cycling, it's like it's going, so I'm like, why is she jumping? So I pull it, and I watch her, and the ball goes up, and it hits, and as soon as the game goes out, she goes like this, hits the start button again. To start the game up. And it's like, oh, it's, okay. I said, don't do that anymore. She's like, don't do that. So I shoot it, and it goes up, and I'm standing there watching her, and she shoots again. I said, move over this side, will you? Move over this side. She goes over to the other side, and I shoot the ball, and I'm feeling pretty proud. And it goes, and the game goes out, and it goes dark for a minute, and then she jumps, and the lights come on, but it doesn't start. Oh, look, it's Jim Bonkowski. Hey! So anyway... I says, okay, she hit the switch on the ballet, old ballet games, who may not know. But the game's off and it's plugged in and on. If you hit the left flipper switch, it lights up the game into a track motor. So she was a track motor. So I hit the start button and I reach down and I sort of cut my hand over the flipper button. And I pull it back and it goes up and hits that first hit, goes up, and she goes against my hand. And she hit it so hard, it hits the button, the light goes on. I says, this game is working. No, it's not. So I hit start. Cut my hand so hard. Shoot the ball, it goes up and hits, and she's going against my hand, but it won't play. See, the game is broken. It won't play five balls, it won't play one ball, it's broken. But I might consider getting my $50, maybe I'll give you less. So I take the lock bar off, and I saw the spider like running away or something. And I slide out the glass, I saw another bug run away, and I lift the play field up, and there's like 500 cockroaches. And I start running as soon as the place come up. And I was like, oh, God! Oh, and I was like, oh, jeez, I don't want this. I don't want this. Well, why not? I don't want to get bugs. What, you're afraid of a few bugs? I said, no, I'm not afraid of a few bugs. I'm afraid of my wife if I bring home a few bugs. I said, I don't want 40 bucks. He said, no, how about 30? I said, no, 20 bucks. You can have it for 20. No, I don't want it. So I'm out the door. So the guys in the van are like, oh, how'd it go? I said, no, it's okay. You know, I'm not getting it. It looked good. I'm sure I could fix it easy. You know, by this time, I'd really picked up a lot of EM stuff. I could fix these things. Maybe I was lucky, had a talent for it. Maybe, you know, I could figure it out. I'm not stupid. I could fix it, but, you know, I didn't want it. If one of you guys wants it, you could probably get it for 20 bucks. They said, well, what's wrong? It's got a few bugs in it. It's a few bugs in it. Yeah, about 500 cockroaches. They'll go, let's get out of here. So we left him. I have standards. Even for pinball, they may be low, but they are standards. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, in 86 was a good year for me. I got a shuffleboard game, a bunch of others, and it was a fine year. But again, turning these games over, the Full House was my first tournament prize. You know, selling these things to my buddies for 25 or 50 bucks more than I got into them. You could fix games up cheap in the old days, you know. Little Wildcat to clean them up, you know. Rubber rings were cheap, light bulbs were cheap, and coils were cheap. Okay, next, please. 87, oh, that was a good year, too. The Fireball from Damon, that was an interesting story. Next, please.
Are we going to hear it?
Clay, I got stories for all these. I got probably 25 minutes left. And I got to give this stuff away. Okay, who thinks they've come the farthest? Okay, how far?
I came from Detroit.
Yeah.
You are disqualified from any prizes because you're being there. And if you are, continue on at the bouncer.
Well, that's where I want to freaking blow
okay,
it out.
Okay, where from?
Bring it on, dog.
Where? Australia?
That's wow. Farther. West Coast.
Anybody think they can beat that?
I have some shirts that he might want.
Is this the guy who's looking for the shirts?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Well, you're welcome to come up because you traveled so far. You're welcome to take a prize back. I recommend the Translite or the Flyer Packs because they're light. Come on up and get something.
Yeah. And one of those Flyer Packs got a Medieval Madness.
It's got a Medieval Madness Champion Pro, yeah. No Fear. There's a Big Bang Bar in that one. Should have been a Circus Voltaire one, I think, in that one, although somebody might have snagged your CV in there and somebody's snagging it. Yeah, take the whole thing. Yep. Okay, let's see what else we have here. Who thinks they've been to the most expo?
Good ties.
Oh, Sam Harvey, okay. Come up and get a prize, Sam. If this stuff interests you, you're welcome to have it.
That's only 23 for me.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody know
the
subject of the first presentation that I gave at Expo? That's the whole pack.
Okay. I'll go ahead.
Speak to the
computer.
Yeah, you got all this stuff.
Yeah, let me guess. How to use a microphone? Was that the first question?
Which one? The one I did with you.
Yeah, how to use a microphone?
Yeah, how to use a microphone.
How to check your blood sugar. Okay. Okay. Oh, geez. Okay, we'll just go on for a while. Okay, so in 1986, in 1988, I held my first pinball tournament. And this is not so much to show you the tournament, but to show you what I had in the basement. I had a bungalow, which is like a story and a half house, and it was like 900 square foot. I think I had like 700 square foot in the basement. And you see the part of a game head here, so it's one, then you count the other games, two, three, four, five, six games here, and the battle zone. So I got six pinball, the battle zone makes seven. Next slide.
Next slide.
And then the battle zone here, I got two more pinballs, eight and nine. So I got nine games on this row. Next slide. And then this is opposite. When I took the first picture, I'd been standing to the left in the picture. And I had a game that's long ways behind that, which I think was 10. And this one we only put up for tournaments because we needed a game to play. But the other games are right there. You couldn't move. So that's 11. Next slide. The other side of the room, I got a game, a baseball, a shuffleboard. So 12, 13, 14 games that could fit in the basement. Laundry tub, drop stack, washer, dryer, refrigerator, under the stairs. That's all I can pack in.
Wait,
I got games
in the room. Who's the guy on the right?
That's my brother-in-law, Michael.
Oh my God, can you buy him some clothes, please?
This is a summer tournament. Don't ever have a pinball tournament in the summer unless you've got good air conditioning. Okay, I want to show this so you get a perspective when I talk about when I wanted to get a new house. Okay, next slide. 88 again was a good year. I got this here from Damon. He and his partner were splitting up. I always wanted a baseball and I could never get them, and they were splitting up to get rid of stuff. I bought it for like $185, and it's like a really desirable baseball game I could buy. Next slide. 1989, again, a really good year. This came from Florida, and I went down to visit my parents. Next slide. 1990, we get a new house. I go to my first pinball expo, and my first publication in a pinball magazine. Now, that predates the Pin Game Journal by how many years, Jim? He's not here, okay.
One.
By 1 year, is that it? Oh, 1990, the Pinball Trader was how many years before the first Pin Game Journal? The last, 1990 was the last?
You know, the last 2 years.
But not when the original guy was doing it, right?
Okay.
So anyway, I wanted to contribute. I was a self-proclaimed efficient EM repair. I wrote an article on how to do a playfield swap. I swapped out a Cleopatra playfield. I got a new one from Donald Murphy with all the plastics. I wrote about it, took pictures, put it in the Pinball Trader. I felt really good. I was contributing back to the hobby. I had two other sidebar articles. To my knowledge, it was the first time anybody had written anything about how to do a pinball playfield swap. We were looking for a new house. I had two kids. We needed a house with four bedrooms or three bedrooms and a family room, at least a two-car garage, and a basement that could accommodate pinball well. So we start looking at houses, and my wife realized after like a month, they want us to sell our house right away and buy something. I was like, no way, I'm going to be picky, you know, I'm not going to be forced to buy something. So we go look at houses, and I walk in, and we go to the basement. The house looks nice, go to the basement, and like the ceilings are this way. I can't have this. Look at the house, it's pretty nice, you go in the basement, and it's like a U-turn in the basement. So I can't do this. I go out and I look at a house, a nice house, and you go downstairs, it's really nice. There's four watermarks on the wall from various walls. And I can't do this. So finally the realtor says, okay, come on, we look at a house. And the first thing we do is we walk into the basement. Look at the house. Not acceptable. So we walk out. People say, yeah, look at the kitchen. We put 40 grand in the kitchen. They should put 20 grand in the basement. So my wife's like really, really patient. She was really nice. Our house was a nice house. It's the market, you know, it's entry-level house. It was ready to sell. It was a move-in condition. We knew it would sell. We were going to try to, like, make the money on the buy and not necessarily try to, you know, rip people off on the sales just to turn over. And we finally looked at the house. It had been in the market for a while. And I wouldn't look at it because it was too much money. It was in town, a ranch house, 1,500 square foot, 1,200 square foot basement, 2.5 car garage that's, like, twice as deep as a regular garage. And it's on a double-long lot. And we offered the guy, like, it was like 120, we offered him like 95, and we took her to like 101 or something. And it needed a lot of work, but I got this new house. And then we're working on trying to move in, and then I got to go to my first pinball expo. Now, next slide. Okay, this is what the basement of the old house, the basement, this 1,200 square foot basement, was a 40 by 30 basement. Was divided not half and half, but it was divided about 3 feet beyond half. So it was like 700 square foot in the game room side of the basement, 40 by like 18. And this is the northwest corner of the basement, and this is the northeast corner of the basement, and this is a view along the whole north wall of the basement. Drop ceiling, I didn't do any of this other than paint the walls. Drop ceiling, a row of games, this bar here. Anybody know what these things are up on the top here?
Okay.
What'd you call it?
Squeegee?
No.
Croquet balance.
No. They're called bung hammers. And a bung hammer is what you hit a whiskey barrel with to knock the plug out of the bung hole. Before I worked at the hospital, I was a taste tester in a liquor factory. And I got these whiskey barrels and these bung hammers, and I get bungs and all sort of stuff from the liquor factory. Hey, if you didn't know, you could have had a prize, but people need bung hammers. It's a hammer. See how the handle's real like skinny? That's so when you hit it, it like flops. You hit on either you get it going, you hit on either side of the the little thing, and the little bung just pops right out, and then you take the whiskey or the bourbon or whatever out of the barrel. Okay, so anyway, the bar that's just set into a recess, this is where plumbing goes out of the house, and behind here is where water comes in. And then this following wall continues to there. And I'm going to show this picture in the next slide. Next slide, please. Okay, see these games here? We're looking across here. I'm standing in front of this door shooting across that. So these games are not opposite these games. You can see the pipe that divides this the house in half. And then that first row of games in the first picture, not this picture, is here, and this is opposite that. And then back in this corner here is my shuffleboard game and some other stuff. And this is not from when I first moved into the house. This was from probably about 1995. And that little 4 or 5 year old there is now 18. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is a key rack I made from my Cleopatra Playfield. Here's a Bart Simpson in the keychain I'm at. And here's one of these girls that I taught how to fix pinball. They know a lot of interesting people. And one guy's an artist. And he collected lunchboxes. They had this Girl Scout lunchbox. And she wanted a piece of art. And he said, well, I'll take that lunchbox. She's like, sure, no problem. So what do you want? Well, I want something with pinball. We play pinball. We smoke cigarettes and drink beer, so I want some art. So he did this art stuff and in stuff with sheep and animals. So he made this art for her. That's not the art. I got a picture of it. And it was like, turned out to be like this big. She was disappointed how small it was, but it turns out it's worth like $1,000. And she took a picture of it and it's like these two sheep with party hats on, smoking cigarettes and drinking and playing this, whatever it says, Lady Luck or whatever, pinball. Now here's something else. This is my ceiling panels. And I took trans lights and got that opaque-y kind of, not opaque, crackle plastic, and then you have to get clear plexiglass, mounted the trans lights between them, hung them up behind the fluorescent lights, blocked them out with this colored tubing you can buy at the light store, and the trans lights shine through the ceiling. And then this System 80 play fields are exactly the size, with just a little squeezing, to fit in a 2x4 ceiling panel. And if you put them up there, you should secure them with wire or something, because if they fall, they... Okay, next slide. Okay, I think I got 1990 Awesome Expo. At 1990, went on the Data East tour, which was the old Data East factory. When you pulled up today to that factory, at the intersection, right before you pulled up, on the corner, I don't know which way you people came, we drove separate. On one of those corners of the factory, that's where the old Data East factory used to be. We saw them make the Simpsons game there. And I went to all the seminars at the banquet. We sat at a table with Tim Arnold, which was really interesting. And we played Simpsons and Funhouse. And playing those games at that show made me say, you know what? I think I want to want some electronic games down the road. I better learn how to repair them so that when I want to get these, I at least know what I'm doing because you can't afford to pay people to do this. So that started me on thinking about moving beyond EMs. Next slide, please. I met Jim Bonkowski in 1981. Put an ad in the paper, saw some games. And said, hi, how you put an ad in the paper? Yeah, we want. Oh, I'm really not nothing. I just want to talk to you. So we talked. Started a long friendship with Jim Bonkowski. Stay there. And through Jim, I met a lot of other people. Okay, Jim's also Norm of Normanship. Okay, but at the time, they were nothing. I don't even think you knew Norm at that time, probably. Okay, 1991 was a pretty good year again for me for games, you know. This from Damon, this mint condition, perfect Matt Hari, oh, it's perfect. Well, the play field's got a good amount of wear, and the back glass is flaking, and like it seems like all the EM glasses were, but I bought it anyway. Next slide. The Jack Daniels pinball, that's another story. How much time have I got here? I got a few minutes. Okay. I've been buying games from different vendors up north in Michigan. And this one vendor's been saying, oh, this one guy used to be a vendor. He's got this Jack Daniels pinball game. You should try to get it from him. Okay, well, he doesn't want to give your number out. Well, how am I going to get from him? Well, let me talk to him. So for several years, it's like, let me talk to him. And finally, said, yeah, he's willing to talk to you to get this Jack Daniels game. I think he's going to want a lot of money for it. So, well, let me go look at it. So we make arrangements to go look at it, and I meet the guy at his warehouse. Well, his warehouse is a railroad. What is it? Depot? Is that the word? Where a railroad used to come up north. And this thing is huge. It was like way bigger than this room, and it was like the basement and a main story. And it was filled with what I considered his lifelong belongings.
And we go in the front, and there's three games sitting there. A King Cool, Cap Fantastic, and a Surf Champ. And Cap Fantastic playfield's, you know, wearing evenly. The Surf Champ has some smoke damage, the King Cool has some smoke damage, no game is. And I says, okay, these are nice. How much left for? $100 a piece. What about the, except for the Jack Daniels? How much for? I want $500 for that. I said, okay, fine. Where's the Jack Daniels? It's right there. I said, no, this is King Cool, this is Cap Fantastic, the Surf Champ. No, one of those is Jack Daniels. Come here, look, see where this, they're not set up, you know, but they're standing on end, you know, the scorecard. They see, this is King Cool. Can you read that, King Cool? Come here. Cap Fantastic. Read that, King. Where's the Jack Daniels? Oh, it's in the car. What? It's in the car. I store it in the car because it's too valuable here. Oh, it's been there a couple years. It's like, oh, God. So we go walk into this car, and he opens it up, and the heads are sitting in there. And there's this King Cool, Cat Fantastic, and a Surf Champ head with Lanza. They're in reasonable shape, you know. Surf Champ has some damage, but, you know, Mayfair sold glasses. I got one from him. I said, so where's this Jack Daniels game? It goes right there, and he points to the King Cool. What? Jack Daniels. You see Jack? No, right there. See Jack Daniels? No, it says King Cool. See, King Cool. No, no, Jack Daniels. He points it out at the car. There's a bumper sticker stuck in the right-hand corner of the glass. It says, Charlie Daniels Bean. I said, this is Charlie Daniels. No, it's Jack Daniels. Oh, and I cover up the word Daniels Bean. I said, what's that word say? Charlie. He says, okay, what's that say? Daniels? What's that? Bands? So let's say it together now. Charlie, Daniels, Bands. It's the same thing. It says King Cool. It's King Cool game. Oh, son of a bitch. So I bought the games and trained some of them, sold them cheap to friends, two friends, and taught them how to fix them and kept the one and sold it to Rick later on. Okay, next. Then I got my first game, Firepower. It took me years to get it going because I had most fun. Next slide. In 1993, I think, is when I met Mark Bakula. I haven't had a chance to confirm with him. How did we meet? I can't remember. Did an ad in the paper?
Single side.
You said you could fix anything, so you come off to my house, and what do you do?
I couldn't fix a flip-flop, which I had all these practice fixing on you. Well, somebody else must have been working on it before me. Okay. So I'm trying to promote here. Networking in pinball is a real smart thing to do, I think, for all you people. And that's what I'm trying to point out. Okay. Okay, 1993, I traded a bow and arrow, which I got at some point, but wasn't previous. I can't remember where I got it from for a space mission from these girls that I worked with. Okay, next. 94, last game. Okay, originally I had written this article in 1996. It was titled Cotter's Chronicles. First game, last game. So the first game I bought, which you heard the story, and the last game I just bought, which is this last game. And I didn't realize when I made those slides that I had titled $50 pinball, another one, so I just wrote $50 pinball, so I got to change the other one. So it's 1994, and I have a collection of about 20 games at this point, and I'm a self-proclaimed expert at EM game repair. I'm trying to learn electronic. I read the lines every day, because I think the internet's just starting to come out with stuff. But I wasn't really aware of it, and I had, you know, networked through the expo. I knew where to get parts from, and it wasn't working out well. So I read the ads, and there's this ad says something like video games for sale, $50, lots to choose from, you know, his phone number. Not really care for video, but you got to call on everything. So I call him up and say, hey, you got any pinball?
No.
Okay. About 3 days later, my friend Maggie, this girl that helped me fix stuff, said, hey, what? I want to go look at a pinball game. Okay, where? There's an ad in the paper. They had video games for $50. I said, yeah, I called. They don't have any pinball. She said, well, I called. They said, they didn't have a pinball. Son of a bitch. I called first. They told me they didn't. We go look at me. He said, sure, I'll go. Where is it at? It's in Highland Park. Okay. Highland Park is a city that's wholly enclosed within Detroit. Okay. Well, Detroit in 1994 was in bad shape, okay? Highland Park was worse. Oh, God. It used to be a modest city. It's where the Chrysler original world headquarters, I think, was. It's factories, but it was like bad. So where is it? Oh, it's on Woodward Avenue, which is the main road in and out of Detroit. It was the first paved road in the country. One of the spokes that comes out of Detroit, just south of 6 Mile. And it's on Park. Okay. And it's some place called Worldwide Magazines. No okay, you know, I drive Woodward when it's crowded and the weather's bad because the freeways are nasty. I don't remember seeing, you know, any magazine stores there. You know, I don't remember much of anything, but I'll check it out on the way home. I'll drive Woodward. So I'm driving up Woodward, and I look, and oh my God, I couldn't believe it. You know? So I pick her up, and she got her friend Sally. This is where we're going. I said, we're going to have her. She asked if I'd driven by another home. I said, yeah, but they had the name wrong. Instead of Worldwide Magazines, it should have been called Spreadwide Magazines. It's like the largest porno shop in Michigan. I've driven by it hundreds of times. Always wanted to go inside. Well, I'm not the kind of guy. But I get to go inside with these two girls. That'd be cool. So they thought I was kidding. So we drive up, and I drove by the faces. There it is. And they stop and says, Worldwide Magazines, adult videos, 25-pen peep shows. Now, they couldn't believe it. So we pull in the parking lot, and there's a security guard. It's the best parking lot. It's Highland Park. It's a bad neighborhood. They've got to watch the car drive. And it's last filled with cars. It's like a Cadillac and Junker. And like BMW and Junker. And Lincoln and Junker. Mercedes and Junker. And Porsche and Junker. And my old Suburban, which I know at this time I didn't have to count other people on move cars in this old red Suburban, fit right in. So we go get out, we go walk in, there's the guard shack, and I point out a little rat's hole with this little sand porch, digging out one of the guard shacks. It's like a rat hole, you know? And we come to the door, and we're looking at it. It's a big, heavy door with a plate over like where the locks are, so you can't do something with the locks. And nobody, none of us want to touch the doorknob. And there's a high school down like two blocks, and Highland Park Higher. And the school's getting out, so all the kids are walking home, and it's like, oh, I don't know if people are seeing anything about this porn shop. The door. I said, I'm not opening the door. I find the door open from the inside. I grab the edge of the door. I'm not touching nothing. We step inside. It's like walking into a bar. It's pitch black. And can't see nothing. Look around. Oh my God. And all of a sudden, I realize that somebody's saying, what do you want? What do you want? And this Maggie says, we'll come look for games for sale. So this bouncer comes to get the man, goes to get the manager. There's like a handful of men that we can see in there. Okay? And about half of them look at and see girls. They run away like cockroaches from before. The other half see the girls. And they come up and they get right in our space and like staring at these two girls. It's like, hey, move away. These are my women. So they sort of back off. So I start looking around to see what I can see. And the left was an area about 20 by 30 with 8 video games and a Star Wars pinball. A little arcade. Huh. Arcade? I guess once you're done doing whatever you're doing or whatever. Okay, no one's playing them. Straight ahead was an area about 20 by 30 with a fence and a turnstile. It's full of like videos and magazines and stuff. And it's like, huh. To the right were four large display cases with every type of sex device you could imagine and a lot you couldn't imagine. On the walls of the display were posters of tits and crotches and all manner of stuff. Okay, finally the manager comes out, introduces us, leads us past the display cases through a doorway, and we went into what I call the peep show. There are about 10 doors in a row and they're all closed. There's a big sign with a list of rules. Rules about porno shop. What the hell is this? The one said, like, only one person moves at a time. No standing in line, and no urinating in the booths, no masturbating, no loitering, no fighting, no kissing. Rules like that sound like, oh, God. So he led us to a group of about 15 games, all video games, all jammed together. You know, it's packed together, you know, 5x3. I said, like, yeah, okay, fine. You got a Tempest or a gun? I don't like it. And you got any more? Oh, you got more back here. We go back. There's like 10 more games back there. Nothing here. And finally, Mike says, you got a pinball game. So he over here says, reads the back. And we start to go through this turnstile through these magazines and video. And the man, the guy behind the counter says, hey, you can't go in there. You got to pay to go in there. It's like, well, what? And the guy says, no, all there with me. We're going with the pinball. So you walk through, turn left, back, head to this back room. And you walk into the back, and you realize this is like a supermarket from like the 20s, from what you can tell by the stuff. And they're starting to wall off into little discreet rooms, and there's this ancient pool table with carved stuff and leather pockets and stuff. If you want a pool table, it's like, nah, I got no one for that. You know? And there's an exercise bike that's got this beautiful, shiny, like, cast seat, cast things. It's like, nah, I got no one for that. And there's a space shuttle pinball game, the body sitting there, and the head sort of laying down on it, and the glasses over here. So I said, what's going on with the building? He says, we're expanding. I said, oh, the TNA business will be good. He says, oh, yeah, you can't imagine. I said, oh, so he says, I got to go check on something. I'll be back in 5 minutes. So we start looking at the game, and I realized that on the space shuttle, I think space shuttle is a hinge top, but they didn't hinge the top down. They have broken the head off so that the base was still bolted in place, and then the head was sort of down with the three sides, and the wires were still going in. And I sort of moved it and looked, and the play field looked okay, a couple of bare spots, and the glass was sitting over here, and the glass was really nice. So the guy comes back, and I says, yeah, how much do you want for me? He says, I don't know, he wants $50 for the video. I was like, $50, I guess. It's like, you know, the head's broken. No, they're supposed to come back. I said, no, it's broken. Look, you see this base and this stuff? Oh, yeah, it is. Would you take $40? All right, so first of all, I said to Meg, so you want this?
No way. I'm not doing that. Who knows whose hand's been on that?
I said, okay, fine. Well, I don't mind about it. So I talked to them. Would you take $40? I don't know. I go talk to the owner. So he leaves. Meg, he says, I can't leave your buyer. Said, I says, I can't leave you offering $40. What if they want, like, $400 for it? Shit, I could have shot myself. So I started trying to chase him to find him and say, oh, I'll give you 50, you know, just forget it. I can't find the guy. So we go back. Well, I got sidetracked in the magazine video section. So I go running back, and he comes back and says, I can't find the man, so I'll give you 40. You can have $40. Like, okay, well, how are we going to get out here? They've actually started to wall it in. All these studs are like this far apart. There's no way to get out. I thought, shit, they're going to kill the deal because they get it. I said, oh, don't worry. And he goes over and starts kicking the studs out of the way. And I says, well, I go get my dog. Oh, you know, he calls, hey, so-and-so, like, over the wall. And he's carrying a little bit of my truck for me for $40. So, it was fun. You know, I got this pinball. It needed a little bit of work. I got it going inside. Had the original manual and the original spatial marquee with the film on it still inside with little legs and stands on. And occasionally when I spoke, I opened up, I still get that refreshing bouquet that was left over from its original. Okay, now, so that was my last game I wrote. I'm winding down here, too. So, okay, next slide. One game in 94, next. I think we're going to roll through these. Okay, again, I'm not sure the exact year. Through Jim, he said, hey, I got this guy, man, at an auction. He's Clay, you should talk to him. He's into electronics. He's a pretty nice guy. So Clay shows up at my house with, like, a trailer with some games, and we're talking and stuff. And then I met Clay. And then in 1995, I got a couple of good games there. Again, really interesting stories, but we got no time. Next. In 1996, I was the grand prize winner at the Pat Lawler Show. I won Judge Dredd, Eagle, a bunch of trance lights. I won a nice pencil drawing as big as this poster here of the pencil drawing for Tales of the Arabian Nights. It wasn't the original drawing, it was like a big photocopy. It was beautiful. And a bunch of other stuff. And I think that was the year I met Rick Glasgow also. Sold him a game. Okay, next. Some more guns. I got a gun game here. And a big strike. I really like these Williams Atom balls. I got that. Next. More games.
Go on.
More. This was from Fun Distributors. We used to go down there and try to buy stuff from this guy. Oh, we couldn't go back up in the warehouse. We couldn't go there. Had to be supervised. So for like 6 months, we didn't go. We'd go back and places like half empty. So that, oh, the fire marshals are going to get all cleaned up. He sell stuff for like $10 a piece. And I bought a bunch of black holes and black hole tape. A lot of the parts and a lot of the stuff came from that story. Okay, next. I found my GG game finally. The guy wanted $3,500 for it. I ended up getting it for $250. It took about 6 months, but I did. Next slide. Pinball guides and cargo containers. That's Pinball Guides with Clay, and those are more stories. Next slide. I got a Star Trek Next Generation. Next, I met Eric A. I think it was about 2002 we met Eric. He bought
Black Hole
from the videotape, not from the other ones. Okay, next. We have Funhouse. Next, please. Twilight Zone. Next. Attack from Mars and my other space shuttle. Next. The new game room. So I've had 17 years in this house to say, if I could make this game room what I want, what can I do? I'm not going to do major construction, but I'm luckily on my networking. I met Rick, who's a contractor, and I helped him with a lot. He says, I'll help you do what you want in your game room. You know, it's on the blowboards. I'm like, easy going, simple, let's do it. So we ripped out the drop ceiling and we started making plans, ripped out the stacks of the pipe work, tightened them up, and flipped the next slide. It's going down the stairs, put the drop ceiling out. Put everything you'd ever want to put in the ceiling, paint the ceiling flat black. Okay. Oh, the reason we did the basement was the carpeting was ratted when we bought the house in 1990. We couldn't afford to do anything with it but clean it. Well, you can't clean carpeting for like 17 years. We had to replace the carpeting. Well, I got to replace the carpeting in the basement.
I got to take all the games up. When I take all the games up, I sure as hell got to do anything I'm ever going to do while they're out. So that's why the basement got up. Next slide.
What's with all the coolers?
Those are coolers for parties, but that one right there has had a heart, a liver, a kidney, and a pancreas. A human heart, a human liver, a human kidney. Okay, this is, again, the same kind of thing, northeast corner, middle, northwest corner, middle, northeast corner. There's no shuffleboard down here now. It's just games. I think I've 1, 2, 3, 4, fires 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games in a row. A bar you can get behind. Big Bang Bar. The shuffleboard's at the other end. Go on. This is looking straight down to the east wall. These are all framed, lit back glasses, but you really can't tell. There's my pencil drawing from Tales of Arabian Nights next to the Translate of the Arabian Nights. Other games opposite the bar. These are the games that are opposite the bar. You're sort of looking across the bar. This is standing behind the bar, looking back towards the hallway where you come downstairs and towards the video. Next slide.
Next slide.
This is behind the Battle Zone game in the southwest corner of the game room. This is a picture of the bar. This one I tried to show the lit translates because it's not so light, but it's a little blurry. Next slide. Here I shot from the side. I got 9 lit translates. Here's trying to show the lit translates and glasses. They don't really show. Here's a long shot looking down the basement. Again, that play field's on the ceiling. These lights are all set up in different zones. They're on dimmers. I have them all bright. I usually dim them down to nothing or have them off because there's just enough light from everything else. Next slide. Here's looking the other way. I got this. This is the only marquee I have left from video games. The eyes look nice. That was a short lit. Here's it all bright up. This is this art where I take a pinball plastics and I mat them by cutting them out and mount them. Other posters. And here's again the long view of the basement. And I got ample space between the games. In the pictures it looks foreshortened, but you can play and easily walk between the games. I think that's it. Next slide. 2007. I got a Big Bang Bar and a Mars God of War, and I think that's the end of the talk. Oh, recommendations, go on. Okay, keep a logbook with the game, the dates, the games you bought, the cost, details of your deal, and your game audits. I never checked game audits for some reason. I don't know what I started, how many games we played. I wish I would have. Keep a logbook, like a book yourself for your personal high scores, and provide the same book for other people to put their high scores. They might not be the highest score in the game. What's the high scores? People like to play a lot, like to see what they're doing, if they're improving. Give them some support. Keep a scoreboard for game records so people can see what the highest game is, because it's nice for them to have their name up on the scoreboard for the highest game ever. But you probably shouldn't put your name on there because you should be able to get the highest score on all your games most likely. Now, bringing home a real baby. Anybody who's new to this, if you have kids, when we had kids, or before we had kids, all our friends had this, if you come over, knock damn quietly on the door because the baby's sleeping. You like the baby. We can't play the stereo because the baby's sleeping. You can't talk loud because the baby's sleeping. What are you going to do when you bring your baby home? It's going to be so nice. You're not going to play those games. You have to get rid of it. I was like, oh, so my wife and I sort of talked it over. She said, well, I don't want that. I just want it won't. So we brought the baby home, kept the baby awake the whole way home from the hospital. She said, what do you do? I said, I'm going to go in. I'm going to turn the games on in the basement. I'm going to start playing games. And you're going to put the baby to bed. Well, playing Fireball. The baby's better. Puts the baby to bed. She comes down and says, how is it? He's asleep. Oh, cool. So we played like 50 minutes of pinball. Come back. He's asleep. We're fine. For 2 weeks, every time the baby went to bed, one of us went down and played pinball. Or she would put it in bed and then run down and shoot it just to do it. And my kids didn't do anything anymore. So, okay. Let's see. I got some other stuff here to give away. I don't know what.
So did your baby stay awake when you weren't playing pinball?
Yeah, they do. Let's see. Questions? Any questions? Okay, got any questions? I can ask these people to give away these last 4 things. Okay, so that's my talk. Thanks for your attention. I hope it's something that you know, it wasn't like boring or stupid.